everyone, and welcome back. I know it's been a while, but here we are again in 2025, and the 100 Series podcast is here yet again, and I am so glad to be back with you all to share again some of the most incredible stories you're going to hear coming from right here in the Quad Cities. And I am very excited that we have a very special guest here, as she is a news anchor at WQAD News 8. She's coming here all the way from Philadelphia. She is awesome. She is so cool. And I am so happy to have her on here as the first guest of the relaunch of the 100 Series podcast. Ava Hedges, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I am doing fantastic. How is your new year going?
So far, so good. It's kind of that, you know, dead period where
right.
There's not too much to do, but definitely finding ways to stay busy. Work keeps me very busy.
All right. So I'll give you a little bit of an introduction, and I did this all the time in the podcast when I first launched it. So I'm going to bring up that back here again for everyone out here who doesn't know you. In your own words, who is Ava Hedges?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Who is Ava Hedges? Well, I feel like I'm just somebody that I really enjoy being myself, and I really enjoy being myself around other people. And honestly, I feel like I'm just somebody who thrives off of the energy of others. I really just love being around other people. I love talking to other people. I love making new friends. And I feel like Ava Hedges is just somebody who's just, you know, I'm outgoing, I'm positive. I like to bring a good attitude into the newsroom. I like to bring a good attitude to my friendships, to my relationships. I don't know. I just feel like I'm somebody who thrives off of positivity and happiness and laughter and fun. I enjoy doing things that make me smile and make me laugh and that make other people smile and laugh. And I feel like that's kind of apparent, you know, in the newsroom and in my work and at the desk. And hopefully other people can tell that I love my job and I love being here.
And I can definitely tell that as well, especially like the first time we ever had a chance to go out on a story together. I knew right away, like I could just feel the energy from you, that it was just like you were happy to be here and that you were ready to just share your gifts with the world. Like I remember, yeah, we talking about like different playlists for working out or some of the music that I was playing in the car at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I just love that energy that you brought out here. It's definitely very infectious.
Thank you. Yeah. And you know what's funny? I remember that car ride because that's where you showed me the remixes of Bulletproof by LaRue.
Yeah.
And I added them to my playlists. So I have those on my playlist. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, seriously. I do love being out here. I love where I'm at. I love everything that's happening to me and for me. It's been really great.
Now, you're from Philadelphia or the Philadelphia area originally, right?
Yes, I am.
So talk about back home. What's back home like?
So back home, it's not as cold as it is out here, that's for sure. But, you know, life moves pretty fast on the East Coast, and being right outside of the city, I grew up 20 minutes outside of the city in a suburb of Bucks County, but, you know, nobody out here knows what that is. So it's so much mm-hmm. easier to just say I'm from Philly. But either way, even just 20 minutes outside of the Philadelphia city limits, it's still like pretty quick moving. And, you know, I feel like compared to out here, life out here is a lot slower. People take their time with you. People talk to you. Every time I go to the checkout and, you know, I'm at like Target, Walgreens, whatever, everyone wants to strike up a conversation. They have no problem talking to strangers. And I think that's something so special about the Midwest that, don't get me wrong, I love my home, but you don't get that as much at home. Everything is very fast. People want their interactions to be started and completed within mm-hmm. 5 seconds. No one has the time of day for you. But I feel like out here in the Midwest, it's nice that I really feel like people have the time of day for each other. And I don't just see that with me when I interact with people. I see them when they interact with each other. Mm. Like I'm not involved in the conversation. And they just, you know, like I said, they make the time, they make the space for each other. I think that's a really nice part about being in the Midwest.
Yes. It's very interesting. Like I'm from the Midwest here originally, but I've been to other places in the country. I've been out to LA, I've been out to New York, and yeah, those places are very, you know, they're very go, so it's very rare that people will you know, stop and, you know, find the time to just chat up a stranger.
Yes.
But yeah, here, you know, in the Quad Cities, here in the Midwest, people are just so friendly. Like I've had people just strike up conversations with me, you know, out of nowhere, and it's like You know, it's just natural. And I've done it with people yes, myself.
Yes, I find myself doing it too. And honestly, like, that was one of the biggest things that helped me when I moved out here, that people were so nice and welcoming. Like, I think it would have been a lot harder for me if I'd, you know, moved from the Midwest to a big city and people were so short. And I don't think necessarily people are trying to be rude. I think that's just our way of life on the East Coast. It's just fast, you know? So one thing that really helped me when I moved out here was just how kind and welcoming and talkative everyone was. Because, like I said, I love people and I love to talk. So it kind of just went hand in hand for me, and it made my transition so much smoother.
So talk about what got you into wanting to be in broadcast journalism.
So that was something I always wanted from the time that I was a little girl. In fact, I have like a home video from like 2008 where I forced my little brother to hold the camera and I gave a full report. I did the news, I did a traffic report, I did a sports report. And I remember I named all of the players, like the starting lineup for the Phillies 2008 World Series team. Like, I just knew that I wanted to be in news. I loved, you know, talking and presenting information. So it was something that I knew from a very young age that I wanted to do. I always wanted to be in front of a camera behind a desk as an anchor. And then that continued throughout elementary school. I did like the announcements in my school. Like I said, I enjoyed like presenting, I guess that's the word to put it, like presenting, giving information. So I did the afternoon announcements at my elementary school. And then when I got to high school, I did the TV station in my high school. And it was there that I always knew that I kind of had it in me that I wanted to do it. But it was there that for the first time somebody had said to me, "Hey, are you considering a career in this?" My teacher, Dan Mahoney, he said to me, you know, "Hey, you're kind of good at this. Like, would you ever consider studying this in school and making a career out of this?" And it was one of those moments where I was like, yeah, I actually am. Like, for the first time somebody had said to me that wasn't my mom or my dad, you know, because your parents always have your back and support your dreams. But it was the first time that somebody had acknowledged that wasn't just a family member or a loved one. And it was really reassuring. So then I went to study broadcast journalism in college. At LaSalle University, where I started my college journey, and then the pandemic hit, and that was just devastating. Like, we all went home, and I couldn't get involved in the station or the school's newscast. I couldn't be on campus to get that feel for like reporting for the newscast or doing things in the city for the newscast. It was just, you know, very tough. And then I actually transferred schools. I left LaSalle and I transferred to Temple University. And by that time, my interest was fading in news, and it was totally fading in my career. And I kind of hit a wall where I was like, whatever happens, happens. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I want to be in news. I don't know if I want to be in any part of that industry. I was almost ready to give up. Like, I was just, like many people, you remember how the pandemic felt. You felt very lost.
It was like everything just stopped. Everything just stood still. And for that, you know, even nowadays, we talk about pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. It's like the pandemic was like this shifting point in how we live our lives. And for a lot of people, really gave them that opportunity where they had to, you know, face themselves. Where, we have our lives, we have our jobs, we have our family, we have, you know, all of our different activities. But then when all that's taken away and all you're left with is yourself, and you really just have to sit there and think, and like, who am I? Like, am I more than my profession? Am I more than all these things that kept me busy?
Right.
And I think, you know, a lot of people coming out of the pandemic really started making a lot of different shifts.
Yeah, and like you said, it's very existential. Like, who am I? What am I doing here? What does my existence mean? And I know that sounds very exaggerated, but that's kind of like some real stuff that we were talking about during the pandemic. And I just kind of remember thinking, am I cut out for this? Is this for me? I don't think I want to do this anymore. And for the time that I went back to school at Temple, I didn't pursue any type of broadcasting, any type of extracurricular. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my last semester where I kind of like, you know, it was, what, 2 years post-pandemic, and I was like, you know what, I think I'm ready to get back in the reins here. Let's just try this one more time, and if it works, it works. You know what I mean? Just like, throw it at the wall, see if it sticks. And that's when I joined my college campuses, Temple, they had Temple Update, and that was their news station. And thank God I did, because that's where it totally rekindled the fire. Like, it totally rekindled it. And I was like, okay, I am for sure, this is what I want to do. And I remember I was in one of my classes, we had like a senior seminar, and we had to get up there and say what our plans were for post-graduation. A lot of my classmates, God bless them, they had these giant PowerPoints with multiple slides of their achievements, their accomplishments. I was part of this group. I did this here. I produced this show. I anchored this show. I wrote this show. And I just remember sitting there like, these kids are incredible. And like, you know, just comparing myself like, wow, in my time during the pandemic and when I came back to school, I didn't do jack. Like, I was really like, I didn't do anything. And I remember I got up there and I was like, I know that I want to work in TV news, and that's where I am right now. And I had no PowerPoint. I had nothing. And my professor was like, okay, we'll get you there. And
But that's sometimes that's all you need. You don't need to have like all these big, you know, accomplishments, you know, already down on paper. If you have the drive and you have the will, my dad used to always tell me, it's one of the biggest, bless his soul, one of the biggest lessons he ever taught me in life is that if there's a will, there's a way. If you want something badly enough, even if you may not have had any experience, any skill, your mind will naturally lead you to where you want to go if you want it badly enough.
That is fantastic. That advice is fantastic. And he's right. I mean, seriously, if there's a will, there's a way. And I kind of found that out firsthand when I joined Temple Update. And I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, all these kids have been here for much longer than I have. They've been doing this for multiple semesters. This is my first and last semester doing it because I'm graduating. And then, you know, I kind of just poured my heart and soul into it. And during that time, I was commuting to and from Temple. I was taking like 6 courses because Temple Update wasn't a course, it was an extracurricular. I was taking 6 courses. I was commuting to and from the city every morning. And then I was going home and I was working until, you know, 10 o'clock at night at a restaurant. And it was just rinse, repeat the entire semester. Like, it was hard. And I really did my best to balance all that and pour my heart and my soul into Temple Update because I knew that at the end of the day, it would be worth it. So, and then, lo and behold, it is pretty much worth it because now I'm here.
Yeah, so talk about how did you get from, you know, Temple University all the way out near Philly to here in the Midwest? How the...
Right. So, well, I did the same thing that everybody does when they graduate. You know, I didn't have a job lined up. Let me start there. A lot of people say, oh, you need to have a job lined up once you're graduating. I had nothing lined up. Like I said, I was flying by the seat of my pants, truly and honestly. I had no job lined up. I hadn't taken any internships. I just knew that I wanted to be in news. That's all I knew. So I took my highlight reel from Temple University. And I started making applications, just started sending out my highlight reel. I started sending out my resume. And look, my resume was pretty scarce, right? Because I only had one semester of broadcast, any type of broadcast experience, no internships, no prior experience, nothing. That's all I had to go off of. So I'd gotten a few offers back here and there. And I got an offer back from WQAD. And I was like, it was just kind of one of those feelings when you get like a hunch. I was like, okay, this could be good. And it's important also to mention I have family in Milwaukee. So that's only 3 hours from here. So while it is a big move from Philly to the Quad Cities, I'm kind of close to like home, you could say, because my family's in Milwaukee. So that was definitely a helpful deciding factor. But I just remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to get this job. Like, everybody has so much more experience than I do. I just, like, I only did this for a semester, and there's just no way they're going to want to take a chance on somebody with no experience. And then they did. And I'm so happy they did, because I guess, you know, they had seen what I was capable of just from what I'd sent them. And now here I am.
I think that really shows something, that you said you only had one semester of experience, but that alone was, you know, enough to get you to where you are. I think that goes to show just the type of, you know, because it's about the quality, it's not about the quantity. So you're putting out, you know, quality content, it's going to get recognized regardless.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Quality, not quantity. And plus, I think you could just tell that I wanted to be there. I wanted to do it. I was happy doing it. I love doing it. So I think that that was probably just apparent in my very early, stand-ups and broadcasts and live shots, even though they were really shaky and tense, and I was probably like super stiff. You could probably still tell that, I wanted to be there and I wanted to do it.
So talk about what's it been like being here? We talked about a little bit already at the beginning, but what's been some of like your favorite things of being out here in the Quad Cities?
Just in the Quad Cities. Well, like I said, the people for sure. Everybody's so just kind and welcoming and nice. I like where I live. So I live in Davenport, and everything is very walkable and everything is very close by. And in the summertime, it was just great to be able to walk everywhere and see all the festivals going on. And I was working weekends at that time. So I'm very excited for this summer when I'm not working weekends and I can actually be part of the festivals and not be there just covering the festivals and, live music and different like pop-up flea markets and stuff like that. But I really do like how walkable and close by everything is. And for such a small, I mean, I guess like relatively small city, in comparison to Philadelphia, there is so much to do. Like, I feel like every weekend I'm still finding new things to do. I love that I get that variety and it doesn't feel like, I've exhausted my options. There's always something for me to do.
And I like that you said that because there are a lot of people out here, and I think maybe they're not getting out of the house enough, but they will always say that there's nothing to do. But it's like just go outside, man. Like just go outside. There's plenty. There's plenty going on at always.
You're absolutely right. There is plenty going on. But yeah, I find people ask me that question all from home. They ask me all the time, like, what do you even do out there? And I'm like, well, you'd be surprised. There's quite a lot to do. Like, I look back over all the events and different things that I'd done during the Christmas season. That's the most that I had ever done, like, in my entire life during the Christmas season. Just all of the different, like, light shows and all of the theme, like, the restaurants had themes, and there was just, like, so many, like, I went to Festival of Trees. Like, there was just so many things to do. You just have to look. You really do have to look. It's kind of on you. So if you think that there's nothing to do here, you're probably not looking hard enough.
When did you get here again?
May.
Okay, so you've been to Dunder Classic then.
Yes, I was there. Well, not as a spectator or anything, but I was there as a reporter for one day. Yeah.
Was that experience like?
It was cool. I mean, I don't think I really grasped the full like magnitude of how big the John Deere Classic is, just because I was kind of busy with other stories and, I didn't really get to experience it in full. But I'm excited for this year when it's like, I've already been in the flow of working here, and now I can kind of appreciate the John Deere Classic for what it really is. Like, I just didn't realize it was that big of a deal.
Oh, people go crazy. It's like the one week out of the whole year people actually care about golf.
That's really funny. And I'll be one of those people, I can promise you that, because I don't watch any golf.
It's cool too that golf course TPC Deer Run is actually like featured in like the PGA Tour 2K
Oh,
game
wow.
series.
Oh, no way. I didn't even know that. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
cool.
I wanted to get a bunch of guys together and like just like play through the course on the game because I have the game. But we never got around to it. Hopefully, maybe we'll do it this year. But it's that golf course is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really pretty. I will say, though, doing some of the stories that I got to do while I was out there, just kind of immersed me even more into the community. I remember we did a story about the people that were, they had turned like their backyards and their front yards into a parking lot, for people who wanted to park really close to the John Deere Classic. And that was just really interesting to get to know them and their stories and how long they had been doing it for and the type of people they would see. And this, they had some really funny stories about people coming back after being at the Classic all day. So,
Oh, really? Like
yeah.
what?
Like people that have been drinking or partying all
Okay.
day, and then they come back and they're like, just silly stuff. So they had some really interesting, unique perspectives of the John Deere Classic, and even though it was like work for them, it was still something that they looked forward to because it's a fun time.
Nice. Any other stories that you've done that stick out?
Oh, gosh. I remember when Shelby had asked me this question, I was like, oh gosh, Shelby, I couldn't even tell you. I don't even remember half of the stories I did.
And when she says Shelby, she means Shelby Kluver.
Oh, yes.
She's our anchor for our 4 p.m. current show.
Yes, yes. I remember Shelby had asked me when I was on for an interview for her show, she'd asked me, you know, what's your favorite story? And I was like, oh gosh, I couldn't even tell you. Like, there's just so many different stories. They all come with their own set of, like, experiences and people and connections. But I feel like... I'm really trying to think. I mean, the most recent one I did was fun. It was more like a fun story where I got to go to the Quad City Animal Welfare Center and talk to Patty McRae, the director there, just about, you know, adopting a pet for the holiday and whether or not you should give a pet as a gift for the holiday season. And she says, you can... She says that's a great idea to help get a pet a home. But yeah, I can't even think about all the different stories I've done, all the different people I've talked to. There's quite a few. But I'm sure if I go back and I look, it'll start like a chain reaction in my brain. And then, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I should have said that one, or I should have said this one. They'll come to me later, of course, when I'm not talking on a podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do. I can remember that those JDC stories were a really great way to see the community.
What's something that you've learned since being here?
Gosh, a lot. I've learned a lot since I started here. I think one of the most important things that I've learned is communication, and also just maintaining relationships. Not just with, like, the people that I see out on my stories, but the people that I work with every day. You know, like, we all work so closely. Me and the Good Morning Quad Cities team, Jawan included, we all work very closely, early morning shifts. Like, it is Monday through Friday, 3 a.m. to 12 p.m. You've got to give each other some grace. You've got to have some patience. Like, and, you know, people are going to get under your skin, and you're going to get under their skin. Like, nobody's perfect. But I feel like I've really had to dig deep and work on, like, maintaining relationships with people. Because we work too close together for us to hate each other.
The last thing you ever want to do is burn bridges. especially when you gotta, you know, see the person every single day.
Exactly. And it's just in such an intimate capacity because we're all working towards one product. You know, like, we're all trying to put out a good show.
Right.
And, you know, we can't get a good show if we're at each other's throats or necks. You know, no matter how much you might want to be sometimes, you just can't do it. So I've learned a lot about relationships.
Yeah, I think we definitely do have a good group. Mm-hmm. I know that there was, I've been at the station for quite a while, and I've definitely seen different, you know, dynamics, and I've seen, you know, what happens when, you know, coworkers are unable to get along. And it never ends well. Mm-hmm. It always implodes, and then you get into, you know, bigger problems than that. You know, that we can't discuss on a podcast like this. But
yes, we like to keep our jobs.
Yeah, I think, you know, for the most part, yeah, we do a good job at, you know, keeping everything positive and keeping everything fun. You know, like we said, you know, the morning show. It's always been laid back. It's, you know, it's a different type of environment as opposed to being on, you know, a night shift or even, you know, the day shift, which are, you know, way busier. But, you know, what we do, you know, because, you know, we are getting up, you know, so early in the morning, it's like, you know, we do have to have that grace and, you know, give each other rooms to, you know, not be perfect. And, you know, not, you know, come after them, you know, for every single, you know, thing that we may not like. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I think that's really important what you said, too, about not being perfect, because we're all far from perfect, very far from it. So, yeah, you're right. We just give people some grace, and, yeah, nobody's perfect, not even a little bit.
So, what are some things some hobbies that you may have, or just things that you like to do when you're not, you know, behind the desk reading the news?
hobbies. I don't think I even have time for hobbies. What do you mean? Free time? Never heard of her. But no, when I get home, I feel like I'm still developing a schedule. So, because I switched, you know, to this morning shift not too long ago, probably early November, I think, is when I went full time. So I'm still getting calibrated to waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and going to bed at 6 o'clock at night. But when I do find the time and the energy, I'm a runner, so I like to run.
Okay.
I like to shop. I like to go out and shop.
Any stores?
You know, just your usual. Well, actually, I visit Trash Can Annie's a lot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I visit Trash Can Annie quite a bit. That was one of the first places that I went to when I first got here, and I just kind of like went for a walk one day. Before I started working here, I just had all the time in the world, so I went for a walk, walked all throughout downtown Davenport, and stumbled across Trash Can Annie. And I developed a really good relationship with the owner. Her name's Laura. She's the sweetest woman ever. We clicked right off the bat. So I do like to stop in there from time to time, and not just for the clothes, but also to catch up with her and talk to her. So that's been a really cool place to go to, and she's fantastic. She knows any article of clothing you could pick up off the rack. She'll tell you when it was made, how it was made, the type of stitching that was used, the fabric, all the different types of things that were used to make it. She knows everything. It is phenomenal. And one time I went in there, I pulled a skirt off the rack, and she was like, that was worn by the first anchor in the Quad Cities.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So I said to her, I was like, I'll be back when I get my paycheck. But isn't that sick? Like,
that's incredible. I mean, I've been in there before because I'm a photographer as well. So I do photo shoots with a lot of different people, and they'll buy clothes from Trash Can Annie's. And, you know, I have to make sure that I always tag Trash Can Annie's as well as a credit for the wardrobe. And like Laura, she always will comment back and everything, so yeah. It's really fun. But yeah, I didn't realize that she was that well knowledgeable about all the different new clothing that's in there.
Yeah, she's absolutely fantastic. Probably one of the coolest people that I've met since I've gotten here. Just wonderful to have. And it's so funny too, she looks at me and she goes, I have something that's gonna fit you perfectly. Picks it up off the rack. I put it on. Fits me perfectly.
Nice.
I'm like, you know exactly what you're talking about. I remember one time she handed me a sweater and she's like, oh, this is going to look fantastic. And I kind of like looked at it because I was like, are you sure? And she looked at me in the face and she went, what do you think? She's like, of course I'm sure. I know exactly what's going to look good on you. And I was like, I don't even know why I opened my mouth. Of course you know. You always know. She's got my measurements. She's got everything. And she's just, it's almost like a gift. It's not almost like a gift. It is a gift. She knows exactly what to pick out, what's going to look right. It's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She's
that is really awesome.
The coolest, most unique people I've ever met. She's so talented and gifted.
Nice.
It's sick, yeah.
So you think that's your number one store right now?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think that Christmas set me back about a couple paychecks, but hey. I will definitely be going back in there once I've got a... some money.
To get that skirt, right?
Yes, exactly. I think that is just the coolest thing ever. And how cool would that be to wear that on air and be like, this skirt, you've actually seen this skirt on air in the I don't think it was WQAD, but in the Quad Cities before, on air. This isn't the first time.
Yeah, about, what, 60 years ago?
Probably something like that. Yeah, just fantastic piece of history. So that would be really cool to rewear it. Yeah.
So we're getting close to the end here. Let's talk about what are some things that you live by every day, like just things that, you know, kind of, you know, drive you, that you hold close to heart, you know, as you're going about your day, you're doing whatever.
Yeah. So I think, well, I'm a religious person, so I lean on God a lot. I have a good relationship with God. I kind of like to remember that, you know, with God, anything's possible. And I'm a very thankful person, and I take gratitude and thankfulness pretty seriously. So I like to make sure I'm thanking the people around me, you know, and I'm just grateful to wake up in the mornings. I'm grateful to be here. Even when it gets really hard, I like to try to remain as grateful as possible, because it's really easy to just fall into a trap of, you know, everything sucks. I hate this. Why do I have to be here right now? Why do I have to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning? But it's, you know, I like to flip that script and I try my best to live by an attitude of gratitude. And there's one thing that one of my managers said to me that has always stuck with me. I worked at a sushi restaurant and a manager who's now my very close friend, Freddie Price, he said, he would always say to me to help me put things into perspective, Ava, if that's the worst thing that happens to you today, your life is pretty good. And it would be things like, you know, I drop a plate or I mess up an order. And in the moment, it feels like the end of the world, right? I'm like, God, that was so embarrassing. Or, oh my God, this family's going to be so mad at me. I totally screwed up their order. And he would say, girl, if that's the worst thing that happened to you today, your life is pretty good. So I live by that a lot.
I like that. Yeah, it's like I kind of heard something similar to that in my life. And it's, if you're not going to be mad about this in 5 years, is it worth being mad about now?
Mm-hmm, exactly. It's of that same type of, you know, mindset of just putting things into perspective. Like, this is not going to matter. And I've used that so many times in my life where I'm like, okay, if this really is the worst thing that could happen to me, my life is really good. And that's something that has stuck with me since he said it. So I think, yeah, definitely God, gratitude, and that. From my manager back home, Freddie. Those are some things that I definitely try to live by and try to follow every single day.
Okay. And so we're gonna go ahead and get into some fun questions now to wrap up the episode. Mm-hmm. One thing that I love, one of my favorite foods, is sandwiches. Like, yes. I love sandwiches, all types, all kinds. Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to do here on this relaunch of the podcast is I want to ask people, what to you is the best sandwich ever?
You're asking the right person because I love sandwiches. And you know what? This is pretty close to my lunchtime, so I could tell you exactly what I'd be feeling right now. So back home, we have Wawa.
Okay.
And Wawa is like, you know, I guess you could compare it to like your Quick Trip or Quick Star kind of chain out here. And, you know, you go into Wawa and you can order from a little kiosk with the screen and you can build a hoagie. Now, people out here, you guys might call that a sub.
Yeah.
It's a hoagie. So, my favorite sandwich would be a hoagie from Wawa. And a lot of times I get, like, a turkey hoagie. You got to make sure you get the 12-inch size hoagie. You don't need anything smaller than that. Those things are so good. I could eat a whole one. And I always get the bread toasted. And then, you know, you go in with the mayo, the oil, the vinegar. I put turkey on there, lettuce, sometimes tomato. It depends on how I'm feeling. Sometimes I think tomatoes are just a little bit too slimy and they ruin the sandwich.
Yeah, they gotta be fresh.
Exactly, right. You can't have any of that like mushy tomato nonsense. And then I always put like either banana peppers or like hot peppers on there. Pickles if I'm feeling it because I just love pickles, or I'll put them on the side because I just love pickles. And then I usually do turkey and Swiss, so it's usually Swiss cheese. And then, let's see, did I cover all the bases? You got to get a little bit of pepper on there, too, when you order it.
And the bread?
The bread, it's just like whatever, I don't know what roll Wawa uses, but whatever it is, it's fantastic. It's just like, when you click on the screen, you have three sizes. You've got like the 4-inch, 6-inch, or 12-inch. It doesn't give you a bread selection. But you just click the size that you want. Okay. I always get the 12-inch sandwich, and I finish it every single time. No shame there. And I always, like, I don't know if you do this, but I always buy a bag of chips. And
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then we're on the same page here. I put chips on it every single time. What do you put on your sandwiches? What kind of chips? You just do plain or?
So I love, they're the Miss Vicky's barbecue chips, or it's the Miss Vicky's sea salt and vinegar.
Yes, sea salt and vinegar, or I'll do like jalapeno. Sometimes they have like those kettle cooked jalapeno chips. I think those are really good. But yes, that is my ideal sandwich. And that sounds fantastic right now. I wish I could get a Wawa hoagie right now.
Well, not to you know, promote or shill anyone, but Arthur's Deli. I don't know if you had a chance to go to Arthur's Deli yet.
I haven't yet.
I'm going to hook you up with some information about Arthur's Deli. I think you're going to be very interested in what they have to offer.
That sounds very good. A lot of people talk about Hungry Hobo, but I haven't tried that yet.
Oh, Hungry Hobo's fantastic. I grew up on Hungry Hobo. They have some amazing foods. The number 11.
Okay.
Everything onion hot.
That sounds good. That sounds really good.
That's my go-to.
That sounds good.
But I'm going to hook you up with Arthur's. You're going to love them.
Oh, awesome. I'm so looking forward to it. I love a good sandwich.
All right. And very, very last question, Ava. How do you keep it 100?
I feel like I keep it 100 by just, like, coming into work every day and being myself. There's really no other way to go about that. I'm just myself. I try to be as much of myself on air as I am off air. I never want to give people a false perception of who I am or what I like or what I believe in or what I stand for. I try to just be exactly who I am. I just keep it, I guess I just kind of keep it real every day, you know, like I'm just myself.
I think you're doing a great job at that. You've been a blessing being here on the morning show. It's like, I even knew, like, when you first got here, I was like, yeah, she's going to be an anchor here really soon.
Thank you.
And here you are. You're doing it. You're crushing it.
Thank you so much. And I just love it. Like mm-hmm. I said, I'm very grateful.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what you do here in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So, Ava, thank you so much for coming on here and being the first guest on the podcast in almost 3 years. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. And everyone at home, thank you for checking out the first episode of the relaunch of the 100 Series podcast. You know, make sure you are subscribed to us here on Apple or Spotify or however you digest your podcasting. Thank you again. I wish you all peace, prosperity, and positivity. Take care of yourselves and keep it 100.